Well, good morning. Glad to be here. Glad you're here. Thank the Lord that He has promised to meet with us. Like to turn our minds and our attention to some scriptures, and also like to try to introduce a course of something I've been thinking about this week. And amongst everything else, it's kind of been heavy on my heart. So desire your prayers that I'll be able to share this in the right way. I was thinking about the word perpetual. What does that mean to you? Perpetual. Continual. Anything else?
Movement.
Pardon?
Movement.
Yes. Is perpetual indicates that there is there's direction, there's something, inferred, I guess would be the right word. There's inferred. Perpetual means something is continuing on and on and on. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. And begin at the first verse. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord in the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now, who was speaking here? It was God speaking there. He said, my name will be there, mine heart, mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Is that house still there? It's not. There's a specific location in the city of Jerusalem today that they feel is where the temple was, where Solomon built this temple. That temple was destroyed and restored and destroyed and restored and destroyed for the final time in AD 70, I believe, to never be rebuilt. So, why isn't it still there? That'll be a Bible study sometime. I was thinking about this term perpetual. And God said, I mean, if anybody could say something was perpetual, I would think, or should be perpetual, I think God should be able to say that, don't you? Perpetual motion. Brother David mentioned earlier that perpetual kind of inferred there's movement or some progress or perpetual motion. Anybody here believe in that? You believe that's such a thing? You know, people has been trying to keep that alive as long as I know, mankind has ever recorded what they thought about. Perpetual motion. It's not possible. You know, this chapel and this congregation is the closest thing that I know of to perpetual amongst us as a body of people and fellowship. This chapel predates 1900. Not right where we're sitting right now, but the original part of the building there that we can, that I can see from my perspective right now is, I have a copy of the deed that when it was deeded to the congregation, I believe in December of 1892, that it was deeded with the contingency that as long as they held the truth that the ministers taught. What did I say? that land would, that lot would belong to the congregation. But if they quit, if they disbanded the congregation or began to teach something that was different, then the land was to be, ownership was to be reverted back to the family. And I don't remember the name of the family that was named, but I didn't know them. And I doubt anybody here knew them either. That's pretty close to perpetual, isn't it? That's 137 years ago, 138. It's been a long time ago. Maybe I did my math wrong there, but it's a long time. Perpetual. I'll read you something. Perpetual motion is, this is a definition. It's a hypothetical concept of a device that would continue to move indefinitely without any external energy input. So I looked up perpetual motion machine on the internet because we have that available to us. And there's this little thing that a ball has that it comes, it looks like it comes down this little ramp and it flips up in the air and it lands in this funnel and it kind of goes swirling around and the ball goes, drops in a hole and it goes up, down through that and it drops in the hole again. Perpetual motion machine. And and it will continue to do that. Two or three steel balls in there as long as the battery don't go dead. So the most difficult thing about a perpetual motion machine is, where do you hide the battery? If you're going to build one. Many years ago now, I spent a lot of time, I've referenced this a couple of times, I've spent a lot of time with one of our boys trying to build a permanent magnet motor. And because a magnet has a constant pull on it, and if you could achieve some way to switch that magnetic field off and on, you could have a permanent magnet motor. But you can't without having a battery hid somewhere. So, it's means of perpetual motion is hypothetical concept. Don't really exist. And you may see today advertised, years ago it would have been something like a Popular Science magazine or Popular Mechanics, and today it's on the internet, something that says free energy. You ever seen that connected with something? You need to be prepared in case of a power grid failure. Free energy. Provide energy for your home. And all these other devices out there that sound too good to be true. I want to cut through all the clatter and just tell y'all this morning, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. There's no such thing as free energy. Although I will tell you that I have spent precious little money buying firewood prepared where I can just stick it in the stove. Most of my firewood that I have burnt, and I've burned a lot of firewood over the years, has been free. Been free wood. But was it free? It may have been free because I didn't pay for the wood, but I had to cut it, and I had to haul it, and I had to stack it before I ever got to put it in my stove. So it was free energy as long as I bought the gas to run the chainsaw. As long as I took the time and the electricity to sharpen my chains. And it was free freer for me as long as I had boys at home that would cut the wood for me. Now it's not quite as free because I'm cutting my own wood. I'm splitting my own wood. But it was never free, even when the boys were doing all the work. I still bought the gas and the oil and the electricity, but I didn't really buy the wood. So my heat in the winter is not free energy, even if it is a free dead tree that fell over in my pasture or fell over in the creek and I drug it out with my tractor. That wasn't free. I had to buy fuel for the tractor. So why is perpetual energy impossible or perpetual motion? So I want us to think about, if you go look this up, you'll probably find something very similar to this. There is two laws of science that give us the reason of why perpetual energy is not possible or perpetual motion is not possible. One is the first law of thermodynamics. And I know that sounds sophisticated, but it really boils down to real simple terms. Energy can only be converted. It can't be created or destroyed. We can only convert it. As a general rule, the electricity that provides power in our chapel, in our homes, in our electric cars, if you got one of them, it comes from heat. You had to have some heat. It might have been nuclear heat. It might have been a wood-fired heat. But the heat made steam a lot of times, which turned a turbine, which generated electricity. Sometimes we have the energy from the sun shining on photocells that produce electricity with a solar panel. I mean, that's pretty popular today. We have the wind that's turning a wind generator, and it's producing electricity that way. But it's not that electricity is free, because we get a bill for it, we know. But the electricity it's just been energy in another form that's been transferred into electricity. And then we get to use it to turn the lights on, to make the oven work, to provide our air conditioning so that we can be more comfortable in the summertime. And we use electricity so much. It's such a universal form of energy, but it's not an energy. How many times does electricity occur naturally that's not generated? Lightning strikes. Maybe when you rub an old sheep's back with the wool and create some kind of static electricity. You know how it is. Rub a balloon on your hair and then, or walk through the carpet and then you touch somebody and you hear that snap. Well, that's kind of, I mean, you did something. If you change the friction of your feet running through the shag carpet. I remember visiting at a friend's home one time and they had a shag carpet. You could walk in and barefoot. It felt like you was walking in the grass out. It was quite the carpet. And you could walk through their house and then touch somebody and, I mean, you could almost see the spark. It was a snap because of the, y'all know how, I'm not going to go into how that works. But that's just kind of naturally occurring electricity. But to use it to any extent, we generate it. We change it from one form to another, whether it's the energy from the sun or the energy from the wind blowing or the energy from a boiler and heat or a hydroelectric generator because we dammed up a river and then we're using the water to move. We're creating the energy. No, we're just changing the energy force. We're not creating it. We don't make energy out of nothing. We just change energy from one source to another. I'm thinking today about perpetual motion, spiritual perpetual motion. And I just want to ask you a very simple question. Is that possible? I read you back here in the Old Testament where the Lord seemed to be speaking to Solomon and he said that my name, my eyes, my heart shall be there perpetually. But then when I ask the question, where's that building at? You tell me it's not there. What happened? I don't believe in the once saved, always saved, perpetual experience that people try to promote in our world today. There's false doctrine out there that says that once you're saved, you'll always be saved. That it's a perpetual experience. And I'm just here to tell you that I don't believe that it happens the way they think it does. Do I believe that you can be saved for 130 years if you was to live that long? Absolutely. Can a congregation last 137 years or however long it is? Absolutely, it can. Did this building stay intact for over 100 years because nobody done anything? No. There's no material that we have that will last 130 years without some maintenance, without some input at all. So to, once we get saved, to just stay saved, there's some kind of energy that has to be put into that. We're not going to stay saved. We're not going to perpetually be a saved person just because we got saved one time. What does it take? Let's turn to the New Testament. And I want to notice in Matthew, the 6th chapter, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading, I believe, in the 25th verse. Jesus was speaking. I like to think it was a crowd there. May it not have been, but I like to think it was. And he says a lot of things up above this, but beginning in verse 25, he says, "Therefore, I say unto you." So, I'm telling you that perpetual motion is a hypothetical concept, and perpetual salvation is hypothetical. Please stay with me. I don't believe that salvation has to diminish at all. All right? But perpetual spiritual relationship with the Lord doesn't exist without some energy. You got to hide a battery somewheres. Okay? That's the most difficult thing about a perpetual motion machine. I read that on the internet, so it's got to be true. The most difficult thing about making a perpetual motion machine is, where do you hide the battery? So notice here, he says in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you shall drink, for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Shouldn't you be able to have something, you might say, that's free? Aren't you more important than the sparrows that we don't like? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why would you be concerned about your clothes? The Lord is looking out for you, right? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." How do you get more beautiful than some of the blossoms that God created? You don't. That's the answer to that. You don't. There's some exquisite beauty in flowers that no artist has ever been able to exceed or even duplicate. He says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow's is trash, is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, wherewithal shall ye be clothed?" Sounds like perpetual motion, doesn't it? It sounds like you don't have any input. It sounds like that there's no battery hid in this thing. You just give your heart to the Lord, and then everything falls into place. Is that what he's saying? We've got to keep reading. He says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." You know, I believe, because I don't have a number, but I believe that if you knew how many hours that men had invested in trying to create a legitimate perpetual motion machine, I believe that it would be a staggering amount. It's probably more than any legitimate enterprise that has ever been done. There has been an untold, unprecedented amount of time invested, energy and materials and all, to develop the infrastructure that we have. You know, we have electricity on tap, so to speak. We just got to pay the bill. We've got running water. Even out in the country where I live, there's a water line that runs right by my house. I just got to pay to tap onto it. We can have running water at our house. I mean, the infrastructure that's been set up, there is so much. We have roads that 100 years ago we didn't have. that's smooth. I mean, we always complain about the roads, don't we? Potholes and all of that stuff. But just think about the roads we have today compared to what they had 100 years ago. I mean, it's incredible what we have. And there is so much that's been put into that. But compared to the time and effort that people have spent to do things like pave this street out in front of the chapel, compare that to what has been invested in trying to create a perpetual motion machine, and I would say it would be like ants and elephants comparing. People have spent so much time, and it's just lost. Why? Because they're unwilling to accept that it don't exist. It's hypothetical. It'd be good if it did, but it don't. It just simply don't. And he says here, for after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. The Lord knows what you need. And he can help us get what we need. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that we can have free firewood if we'll buy the gas for the chainsaw. I believe that we can have an experience of salvation that will last our entire life, and we can exit this life in victory if we'll read the rest of this chapter. I believe that we can have a testimony that rings clear, that rings true, that has merit to it, that has value to it, that will cause us to be able to look the enemy in the eye and defeat him on every line, if we'll read the rest of this chapter. Now notice what the next verse says. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first. When do you quit seeking? You don't. You're right, Brother David. You don't. Never. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the hidden battery. that's the energy source. You're going to have to expend yourself seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You'll be able to have clothes. You'll be able to have food. You'll be able to have housing. You'll be able to have transportation. I believe the Lord will see to it that our needs are met if we'll put this secret battery in of seeking the kingdom of heaven first. It says, therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's saying that we don't have to be obsessed or possessed by trying to accumulate the things that we feel. If we get distracted and we only focus on the temporal existence and we don't seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then we'll end up with this hollow, empty life. And we won't be able to have a clear testimony. And that temple, that tabernacle, that the Lord said he'd be there perpetually, it'll come down to the generations down the road, and people will say, I don't know where that is. That don't exist anymore. We'll lose the temple of the Lord in our life. It'll be gone. And we won't have it anymore. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. That's where we have to put our energy. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you more than anything else. Lord, I want to know and I want to understand. But this goes beyond our personal experience. It goes on to the experience And the manifestation in a community of a congregation. It won't be here another 130 years if we don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It'll fizzle out. There has to be others that's willing to put their energy into it and having something to contribute. Very seldom do I come and think, well, Lord, I'm going to stand up. Sure hope you give me something between the seat and the pulpit. I'm not going to say it's never happened, but it don't happen very often. Very, very seldom. Probably, I know I can count it on one hand. Now stop. I got things I'd like to do too. We're going to stop. We're going to spend some time with the Lord. I've got to meditate on His things. I could meditate on, I can daydream in church, and you can too. We can daydream about, I don't know, whatever your interests are. You can daydream about things you want to do, things you have to do. You can fret in church because your well went out, because the fence is broke, because the tire's flat. You can fret because the house is broke in some fashion. Maybe the door won't shut or the floor is sloping or I don't care. You can sit here and fret and just hope somebody else will pour a little something on you so you'll feel encouraged. Or we can seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's what's going to make a congregation healthy. That's what's going to make it alive. That's going to be the hidden battery in the perpetual motion machine. You got to hide it in there somewheres. And it looks like to the world going on around us that we just go through this routine and those same people show up every time the service, every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening and Wednesday night if they have a revival, they're all 5 days or however many times it is, they're there. I was told one time that was my hobby, was going to church. Some people deer hunt, some people fish. Dan, you go to church. Well, it's something different than that. It's something, I want to come and I want to receive, but I want to come with something. Because I want it to keep going. You know, all of these things that you might see advertised as free energy and perpetual motion and all of that. Just, if you don't believe me, go buy one of them. Or build it. You can buy plans to build it, probably. Buy the plans. Buy the materials. Build it. And then just see how it works out for you. You know, if they really worked, they'd be selling them at Walmart. They'd be selling them on every street corner. But they don't work. You give them a flip and get them started. I saw a picture. No, I saw a video. This guy had a big flywheel and he has some springs hooked up on a couple offsets on a crank. And on the other side, he had a pulley. And it was sitting there, wasn't moving, and he gave it a flip, and it took off. And it was turning. And it seemed to speed up, but I'm thinking now that what I was witnessing was probably some AI. It seemed to speed up, but there wasn't no belts on that pulley, just so y'all know. It wasn't driving nothing. It wasn't free energy, and I'm going to promise you something, and you build one of those contraptions that man had built, and you can give it a flip, and you think, oh, it's going. 30 seconds, a minute. What happens in 5? It's going to be stopped again. It ain't going to keep going until you hide a battery in it. Until you go over there and flip it every once in a while. That's the only way it's going to keep going. The only way your spiritual life keeps going is you got to hide a battery in it. You got to put some energy into it. The only way a congregation keeps going is when you hide a battery in it. When you have more than one battery coming in, you put some energy into it. You put some of you're only taking energy that you're getting in your personal experience and you're converting it into something that helps other people, that helps keep the flywheel going, if you will. Go to another verse. In Romans, the 14th chapter, in the 17th verse. He says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Although we're going to have lunch together, Lord willing, today. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How do we get that? How do we get the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost? You got to seek it. Have you ever seeked anything? That's not the right word. Have you ever sought anything? Have you ever looked for something? No, I mean really look for something. Maybe something that somebody told you was there, but you weren't there when it was hidden or when they lost it. You spend energy, maybe moving things, maybe bending over, maybe down on your hands and knees. Maybe you brought your flashlight in, that's a battery, and you begin to shine it around. Maybe you brought a magnet. Maybe you brought something. I don't know what else you brought. But you're looking for something. You're converting your energy, your time, your strength into trying to find something. And he says here, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And how are we going to get that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other peripheral things will be added to it. Perpetual motion, perpetual spirituality. We're not going to stay perpetually spiritual without hiding a battery in it. That's the secret. You're going to have to hide a battery in our spiritual life. You're going to have to hide an energy source. And what is our energy source? It's going to be our time. It's going to be our mind. We get to choose what we yield our mind to. We can fill our mind. You know, our minds are incredible things. And we can fill them with a bunch of rubbish. We can fill them with ideas about perpetual motion machines. And in the right setting, you can start a very animated discussion about perpetual motion machines. Usually it's amongst young men, if you just kind of want, you see a group of young men that's kind of interested in maybe some technical or mechanical things, and you bring up the subject of perpetual motion and ask if any of them's ever, you're liable to get quite a rapid-fire discussion going. We can fill our minds full of that. We can crowd out the spiritual things and the time I should spend with the Lord gets crowded out with perpetual motion machines. When in reality, I can have a perpetual experience if I'll hide a battery in it. I can have a perpetual experience if I will spend, if I will convert my energy into consuming something and meditation on something besides free energy instead of free spirituality. You know, I'm so glad that salvation is free. But you know what cost Jesus his life? It cost him his life. And if I say it's free, well, it is. Because I can't give my life. It wouldn't save me if I give my life. It's his life that opened up the avenue. But to receive it, receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, what does Romans 12 and 1 say? I beseech you that you give something. You become a living sacrifice. Lord, help us to be willing to invest in a walk with the Lord. Hide a battery. Convert some of our energy. It's going to cause us as individuals to be able to perpetually have an experience of peace and joy and victory. And when we come to service, help us to be willing to invest and convert that energy into something that keeps the flywheel going in the congregation. And when we do that, another 130 years will pass and it'll still be here. But if we don't, it'll be like the verse in 1 Kings when God said, My presence will be here perpetually. But the reason it's not, the reason that that place today doesn't exist is because people were unwilling to convert their energy into the right thing. And you can keep, by turning the crank, you can keep something that looks like a perpetual motion machine going. And it can look like to the world around us that we got a perpetual motion machine going, spiritually speaking. But it's because we keep our hand on it, because we keep converting our energy into it. And that's how we become successful spiritually and as a body of people, is because we're willing to hide a battery in it. We're willing to put some energy into it. And that's what keeps it going. You pray for me.